Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Big Sean, Karen, happy holidays.
Happy holidays, my favorite.
Happy holidays.
Well, since it's the season of giving, what are we giving the people today, Sean? Give us a heads up. What's the show about?
The show we are doing today, Matt, it's going to be on fire because I have an Israeli in the house, Karen, and my favorite Lebanese friend, Eli, and we're going to talk about public versus private. I think a lot of people in this pandemic time are transitioning from careers and they're looking to do other things. And, you know, there's always been questions I've always gotten about, like, the worrisome about working for a public company or the transition and what kind of work mind should you have. And I sometimes refer them to my friend of 35 years, like, call Eli. He's done it. And just to give you a little background on my friend Eli, we've been friends for 35 years. We actually met in the first gym class in ninth grade. But over the years, we've developed a really strong kinship. We've done so many things together. We've invested together. We've bought real estate foreign and abroad together. We've been a landlord together. We worked in a call center together. We'd share leads with each other. And he's one of those guys that wherever he puts himself, he excels, and he's done a lot. And he worked a lot in the private sector. And now he has a senior role in the public center at the Government of Canada. So I said, hey, let's bring him on and knock this out, Matt.
I know this is real official. This intro would sound real polished, and that's great. But my man Eli's in the building. I got to ask you a real question. If you've known Sean this long, I got to know. Welcome Eli, everyone. Eli.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So I got an important question. Yeah. I know we talked about the whole topic of the show and all that, but I got a question about Sean Linda. What kind of ball player was he back in the day? 35. Can he play?
I'm going to just stay silent and let him speak then, Matt. I'm so happy. Go ahead.
So Sean was the guy that got me into basketball.
Was he the Jordan of Ottawa? That's what he told me.
I'll say this, Matt. Sean put down the first dunk in grade 9 in a game.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we were 14, 15 years old, maybe. Sean put one down. So, and back then, that was a big thing, right? That didn't exist.
That's enough, Eli. You're about to pop it.
And I'll go a little further. I just want to say one thing about our partnership and kinship. We excelled so well in basketball. We actually partnered and co-coached our junior team in high school. We were high school students. You know, that shows you the leadership
that Eli had. You got someone to co-sign if you can play ball.
You open up the can of worms, brother.
So, see? Karen, let's move on to our run of show.
Shall we?
See. Don't start one. Don't start none. Won't be none, Matt.
All right.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about private sector versus public sector jobs, just a couple basic fun facts for us. There are 20.2 million people currently employed in the public sector in the U.S. That is about 14.5, almost 15% of the whole workforce. And it's so those are government jobs, and public sector employment is generally divided up into three categories: federal, state, and local government. And on the other hand, there's about 107.8 million people employed privately, which is technically 71% of all non-farm payroll employees. So as farm is farm. We're not talking about farm. And as of November 2020, our latest statistics, the total unemployment rate is 6.7, which I think is quite a number of percents.
Let's give the true definition of public and private sector as well, just to kind of piggyback off you, Karen. So the true definition of public sector is the part of an economy that is controlled by the government. Public sectors usually include public goods and government services such as military, law enforcement, infrastructure, public transit, public education, along with healthcare and those working for the government itself. While private sector, the part of the economy that is run by individuals and companies for profit and is non-state controlled. Companies and corporations that are government run are part of what is known as a public sector, while charities and other nonprofit organizations are part of the voluntary sector.
So now that we've set it up, Eli, we got some questions for you. Since you are our resident expert, what are the differences between working in the private versus the public sectors?
Well, there's many differences. I'd say there's also quite a few similarities, but the primary difference for me was really around the work environment. I think you'll probably have a feel for a different cultural vibe when you work for private versus public sector. The way policy is set, the way decisions are made, the mandates are very different, right? The mandate and the mission, the vision. Why are you in this job? Why are you doing? Why does this organization even exist? You always have to sometimes point back to the mandate and try to understand why some decisions are being made the way they are made. Also the speed with which things are done. There's a lot of collaboration, and there's a lot of work that behind the scenes that have to be done in advance.
And which one, Eli? Which one, private or public? I'm kind of losing.
I'm talking public, right? Public sector, there's a lot of collaboration, a lot of consensus building before you make a decision. In the private sector, the mandate is very clear. The corporation is the single most greedy entity, right? It's there to make money. It's there to increase shareholder value. Well, in the public sector, you're really doing things for public good, safety, health, well-being of the people, citizens, essential services, etc. I mean, you've listed some of them, Karen. So it's really the mandates are so radically different. That's what you have to adjust to.
Knowing Eli, you for so many years, I can say that, and I'm sure you would agree, that you're an entrepreneur by heart.
I am.
Did you feel that working in the public sector, that entrepreneurial spirit drive was just sucked right out of you?
Well, I'm not going to comment on that, Sean. I'll leave that one alone. But I'll say this. I think you instinctively, if you're coming from the private sector, you're looking at these things, business opportunities, growth, driving, whether it's margins or sales or whatever it is, instinctively, you have to leave some of those things behind. You always have to remind yourself, why are we doing this? It's not to make money. It's actually to enable and support others, whether it's other enterprises, corporations, other government departments, for example. So you're there to really serve, and it does take away some of that entrepreneurial spirit, but the drive to succeed and the drive to grow and the drive to make an impact will never go away, regardless of whether you're in the private sector or the public sector.
So where do you work now? Are you in the public or the private sector?
may sound confusing from my answers. I'm actually a public servant. I work for the Standards Council of Canada, and it's the national standard body as well as the national accreditation body. So it is, I'm under a federal government department. It folds under innovation, science, and economic development. Mm-hmm. So it is a public sector organization.
So what attracted you to that?
Well, I think, the opportunity to make an impact, to do public good, taking a lot of the lessons I've learned in the private sector and applying them, actually. Some people may not know this, but not all government organizations are funded by the government. So for example, we're 100% cost recovery. That means we run a business. All my employees, all of my, you know, my staff members, my salary, the benefits, the travel, all that stuff is covered by fee for service that we provide to the public. So there is still some of that entrepreneurial drive, but we're not there to make profit. We're there mm-hmm. to enable and support the growth and development of a private enterprise.
Speaking of growth, how would you compare the growth opportunities in the private versus the public sector?
Are we talking career growth, Matt, just to be
yeah,
clear?
Exactly.
I think, depending on the sector you're in, you may, you know, in the private sector, if you're in probably in IT right now, you may be exploding with opportunity because of everyone's working from home and, you know, there's all these different setups and softwares and tools that you require. But I'd say it's a steady opportunity to grow in the public sector. To Karen's point earlier, it is one of the largest employers in the country. And therefore, there's plenty of growth opportunities. The nice thing is you could change your job function as well quite easily because of these different opportunities. People retire, there's gaps that need to be filled, et cetera. So I'd say there's a fair bit of growth opportunity in the federal government.
Let's talk money, bro. Mm-hmm. I know you for a number of years and you love money. Do you think that the public can be just as rewarding as a private when it comes to turn as income and salary and bonuses and that kind of stuff? Or you feel like the ceiling is lower than in the public? So if you're going to get into the public, don't think about it as a grab bag.
Well, okay. So
Karen, in other words, is public okay for Karen?
Finally, thank you.
That's the question. Is it okay for Karen?
Okay, so I think it depends on the level and it depends on the function, et cetera. As a senior executive in the government, I'm very content with my package, my compensation package, and the way I'm recognized and rewarded. There's also a bonus structure. I'd say there's probably more money in the private sector if you're level one manager and below, because they're just generally the compensation is higher. Sometimes if you're in a different role, you're in a sales role, it's uncapped. You can make as much money as your performance can allow you to, right? So I think it's different ways to compare. But I'd say overall, and I speak for Canadian government, I can't speak for American compensation, American government compensation, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. You don't hear too many people complain.
So what about that 30-something-year-old person or the people that I know you have a lot of people that report to you and that young person, you know, that's looking to decide whether to go private or public? What would you say to them? I know you're more of a senior level. So, yes, you may be happy with your current compensation. But if you're somebody 30-something or 20-something, what would you say to them?
Well, I think you got to look long term. Where do you want to be in 5-10 years, and where do you want your career to take you? So
we're talking money. You sound like you're talking money.
Talking money.
Yeah.
Again, it's comparable. I think it's comparable if you're starting out in private sector versus public. It's very comparable. There are some industries, like if you're a data scientist today, Sean, Google's going to pay you hundreds of thousands of dollars. We can't do that. Depending on which field of study, which area you're interested in, I'd say it's comparable to start off with.
Interesting. Well, let me ask you this. Do you see people transitioning more from private to public or public to private? Is it the kind of thing where like you've made your money in the private sector and then you want to do good and you want to serve and then you switch, or the opposite?
Good question. You see both, right? I think you'll see both. And it depends on the person's their goals, where they're at in their career. You know, they'll take a step back and say, okay, if I've made my money, I'm good. I'm ready to move on to something else. I want to give back. I want to help other companies. I want to help my fellow citizens, etc. Then you might jump into the federal government or state in your case, or local government. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on where you're at in your career and what your career ambitions are. However, I think you'll see it come in both ways. Some people leave our organization and others to go to the private sector, and many people.
What do you guys say, loser?
Eli, I got a question for you. Like here in the States, we've been dealing with very polarizing political times. In Canada, working in the government, does politics play in any role into your position in being a career working in the government? Like, it does the depending upon who's elected, can you lose your position? Are they appointed? Are they, you know, like, how does politics play into your career?
There's appointments and there's competition. Sometimes you are, you are capped off because there's a certain an administration in place or a cabinet in place that has different policies from the previous one, or they may change the policy. So it is, I'd say, more at the senior executive level has a bigger impact. Sometimes they'll want to do more if find more efficiencies. You know, that's code for cuts or reduction of support. So you may be impacted that way. But overall, I think, they're trying to put in these policies, at least in Canada, where more and more there's continuity whenever there's a federal government change.
So let me ask you a question, Eli. If somebody young applying to come work for you and he's going from private, he's coming to public, like, I know some of them may come with a sense of arrogance. What tips or recommendations do you have, like, for somebody wanting to interview for a public job coming out of a private sector?
I think you got to put some of those old habits behind. Some of them are instinctive and embedded in your DNA. Looking at things like I said earlier, profit, growth.
So don't talk profit.
Stock options, you're not going to get that, right? You're not going to get stock.
So what do you talk about then?
Well, to entice them to join?
No, what do you, if I'm being interviewed, what should I be saying? What should some of the things I should be trying to say to show that I'm ready to do public service?
Well, why are you interested in public service? What's the motivation behind it? Are you here to, is it a paycheck or is it something bigger than that? Are you here to have an impact, to support? Because by definition, you're a public servant. You are there to serve. So if you're not in it for the right, for the right reasons, then the question is, what are you in it for?
Well, can you do a public service job where you don't have to interact with the public?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The public is like the worst part of public service. You know what I mean?
That's so wrong on so many levels.
There are tons of opportunities that, people don't have to leave their offices.
So where would Karen fit in the public work? What kind of job would you give Karen?
My coworkers will love me, but my patience for the public is limited.
Definitely not an account manager for one of my, dealing with one of my customers. I put her on the operations side,
Great. I'll take it.
So any regrets, Eli?
Oh, no. It's been so rewarding, Sean. I mean, I've learned so much. It's also forces you to go out for outside your comfort zone, being malleable, being, adaptable. It really teaches you about how to roll with the punches and change. And if you look at COVID now, we've had every single organization on this planet has had to pivot and rethink their, whether it's their business model or their pricing model or how they do business. We've also had to do the same. It's no different. So, and the impact it's having is so you could see it. You could measure it. It's quantifiable. It's measurable. It's very rewarding.
So when you got those meetings with U.S. government officials, I know you travel a lot to the U.S. and you have a lot of meetings with the U.S. Are you like those damn Yankees? You guys excited to meet with us? Or are you guys sitting there like, oh, my God, they're going to try to tell us what to do. They're going to try to trump us. Get ready, guys.
Look at Sean trying to divide us.
I'm just asking a question, man. I would be having a table room full of Americans coming in there trying to boss me around and say, look, we got more money. You need us. We don't need you. Get rid of NAFTA. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, look, there's the policy and then the trade agreements and that, those we are involved in those negotiations. We look at removing technical barriers to trade and making sure there's even deals on both ends. But at the end of the day, some of my closest friends and colleagues are American.
Spoken like a true Canadian. See that, Matt? You see how we respond, Matt? That's how you give a very diplomatic, proper response.
You see that, Matt? Sean Linden, you didn't take that course.
You see that, Karen? Did you get the Canadian response? See how nice we are? We are just nice people.
And I saw that public servant, Canadian diplomacy.
You saw it.
So who's in the build wall department up there? Are you guys building?
I don't touch that one. I'm not involved in that one. I'm there to remove barriers, my friend, not put them up.
We interesting. Tear them down. That is different because we have a thriving wall department here. It's always hiring, it turns out.
Is that right? Well,
and the job just keeps going on and on and on.
Just endless opportunities in the wall sector, if you're interested.
I'll pass, Karen. Thanks, though. I appreciate that.
Any tips, Eli? Any tips that you would give?
For what? Sorry.
For people wanting to get into public or private, because you've done both. We keep focused on the public, but you are a great entrepreneur, a great private employee as well. So any tips on either side?
You know what? I just say go with what you, what motivates you. Go with where you think you can make the most impact. There are pitfalls to both, Sean. I mean, you can get too comfortable and stagnate in any position, in any job, in any environment. There's going to be changes anywhere you go. There's going to be differences anywhere you go. I think it's being malleable. It is being
adaptable. Scrabble word.
being adaptable, flexible. And I think the key word is being patient. I think, there's an old saying here, that some things move at the speed of government, right? But you got to keep that in perspective. Some things will move a little bit slower, and you have to accept that.
Karen made a comment about the public workers before
right. We were saying, this turned out to be a really good episode. Not that I doubted you, Elias, but I wasn't sure how into public sector jobs we were going to get, I thought that they were kind of like for the overweight who had given up on life. I didn't know that they were like a vibrant career choice for young people wanting to make a difference, or like anybody. Thought it was for people who were like wanted to wear sweatpants all day.
No, I think that's it. It's a bit of a myth there. I tell you, some of the hardest working and most capable and intelligent people I've ever worked with are in the federal government. And this is not, this is a fact. There's some brilliant people. I worked at an organization that does research, National Research Council of Canada, 2,000 PhDs. I mean, these people, I had a team of lawyers and patent agents reporting to me. It's incredible, the intellect, the capability. And when you harness it and you direct it, probably sky's the limit. Absolutely brilliant people.
Awesome. I think it's time to play a little true or false game with you, Eli.
Can I plead the fifth on any of them?
Fifth? Like Dave Chappelle.
As a Canadian, Eli, you can plead any way you want. In Canada, right. We have the right to plead. All right? Let me set it off for you first, Eli. True or false? Bureaucracy, for political reasons, it's a...
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business... to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sometimes more difficult to get rid of surplus workers in the public sector than in the private sector. There's a lot of overlap.
True.
People been in there.
Not... I'd say that's true.
With a quickness, true.
Some government departments are unionized. There's also different policies around performance management for underperforming staff, et cetera. So there's definitely a bigger and another layer of complexity and consideration before anything happens.
If you get into the government and you're a crappy worker, you can kind of stay under the radar and keep your job and don't worry about getting fired.
I'm not going to agree with that comment, Sean, because everyone I've ever worked with has been very, very capable. You could stay under the radar, I think, in both the private and the public sector. I've worked with people in the private sector that just kept the low pro and went through it and did okay, right? I think in any organization, private or public, you can do that. It's just more difficult, I think, to reorganize and, let's say, fire somebody in the public sector environment.
Speaking of which, true or false, private businessmen or women don't have to worry about political popularity and so are more willing to make people redundant and fire their ass if it helps efficiency. So yeah, it's easier to get true. Fired. Okay, absolutely, that's what we true. Thought.
Absolutely true.
All right, well, next up in this game show of true or false, the public sector, on the other hand, is more likely to employ surplus workers in unproductive jobs. True or false?
I'd say that's false. I think there's a lot of measures that are in place. I'm speaking for Canadian government. I can't speak for the American government.
Oh, shots fired.
Indeed.
I'll tell you why. Because there's performance measures in place. There's performance improvement plans. There's a lot of training that takes place. So I think there's a spirit of creating an environment where everybody should and can produce. Now, everybody's at a different level. Everyone's got different motivational factors and different things that you know, different drives. So I think that's important to know.
Fascinating. Okay, how about this one? True or false? The public sector is more stable, has a relaxed work environment, provides better benefits, and more days off. He said true. All right. Sounds like a dream, true. To be honest.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. There's a lot of benefit to working. I remind my team every couple of months, we're so lucky to be in this environment during COVID. Nobody's been impacted financially. No one's had to take a pay cut. No one's worried about their job. Nobody's worried about paying the rent. Everybody's gainfully employed. And whether it's a pandemic or not, you know, they're quote unquote protected.
Well, next question. You kind of covered it, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway. Government jobs are not for the entrepreneur-minded individual. True or false?
Oh, false. False. I mean, there's actually a lot of the National Research Council where I used to work. Most of my team was private sector. Actually, 65 to 70% of them came from the private sector. A lot of them had sold their companies. There were entrepreneurs and business leaders that decided to join the federal government too. Drive different policies, different procedures, different mechanisms and tools for entrepreneurs. So I would say that's false.
Have you been in those heated meetings where there's the entrepreneur guy that just stepped in and the old public servant guy that's resisting the change?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're going to see all kinds of different dynamics. But yeah, that's one that, you know, that's it's not as popular. I think people listen to business leaders now, bureaucrats. Are more inclined to listen to them because they, especially if they've got a solid background to back them up. So yeah, I think you'll still see some of that, but I think more and more it's fading.
Okay, well then, public job growth is slow to evolve. True or false?
Job growth. Yeah. I think there's more opportunity. I think if you stay within the same organization, it may be slow. Sometimes to move up, you need to move out. And you got to look at opportunities, potentially the federal government in other departments. That may allow you to grow faster than your own organization. But I would say that's false.
So last one, true or false, public sector projects are very bureaucratic.
True.
True. There we go. Finally.
Yes, you've got to look at, you know, reaching out to stakeholders, regulators, other government departments, industry, non-for-profit. You know, you got to get the voice of a lot of different organizations before you actually have enough information to make the right decision. So they're a little bit more bureaucratic in that respect because there's a lot more, there's a broader range of stakeholders involved in helping you make that decision. In the private industry, you'll just say, you know what, I had a chat with this CEO or this executive, he or she is willing to commit. to this partnership. They're putting in this much. We're putting in this much. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. And it's done, right? It's a different dynamic. Again, it goes back to the mandate and the mission of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Eli, are you hiring?
Actually, I am. I think I've got 5 open positions. We are hiring. But Matt, you've got to be a Canadian citizen for that.
All right. Fine.
They don't want you Yankee boys there anymore, man. Come on.
Yes, but what about Yankee women?
Let me say this. We do hire a lot of contractors globally. And many of the roster that we do have, I've got between 300 and 400 external contractors, many of whom live in the United States. My customers are in the United States as well. Intertech, UL, for example, other organizations that do the conformity assessment, and they're located in the United States. So we're a global organization. That's the other thing, is we do business all over the world, and some of the contract assessors that we have are actually American.
And that may be a good transition you just mentioned. We didn't talk about that. Maybe coming in as a contractor first. That's kind of like a hybrid position, right?
It's actually a great way to get in, Sean. I'm glad you raised it. It's a very important point. Many people, it's very, you know, sometimes difficult to get a full-time permanent position. So some people come on contract. They
hang it on the fence.
They prove themselves. They do a good job. And then inevitably, they're going, you know, they'll probably end up getting a full-time permanent position. So it is a good segue or a good way to get into the organization by proving yourself first, right?
Noted.
Are you interested, Karen?
Sure.
If you've got an engineering degree or science background, you know, let's talk.
Well, no? Then we might not talk. But thank you.
Well, all right, Eli. I appreciate all of this great information. And you actually got every question right in the true or false. You 100%.
Right? Yeah. Wow.
You win the grand prize.
You know, Americans always like to win, right, Eli? Yeah. So I would take that with a grain of salt because Americans, in any way they spin it, they're
friends of mine. They're friends of mine.
Actually, one last follow up question. What about diversity in the public sector? Is that a big thing up in Canada? I know it's big down here.
It's absolutely huge, Matt. I cannot emphasize, especially now under this government. Liberal government it's enormous. We've actually just launched something called the 50-30 Challenge, where they're challenging Canadian organizations to employ 50% women on management and board positions and 30% diverse from diverse backgrounds. So it's really interesting. This administration or this cabinet is really putting a lot of emphasis on diversity and inclusion. And there's all kinds of training that takes place around it. Part of your stakeholder outreach has to include people from different diverse backgrounds. So Canada, I think, is really, I'd say, progressive in this space in having giving different minority groups, women, different people from different backgrounds, a voice in helping shape policy and Canadian government function.
Awesome.
Wow. That's been a lot, Eli, man. I appreciate you coming on and taking time out to kind of give it to us Americans. So I think now they should have a clear understanding from a subtle Canadian, public and private. Karen, what do you think?
What do I think? Well, listen, this entire time I've been picturing an American DMV, so some of the answers made less sense to me than perhaps if I'd been in Canada this whole time. But yeah, that's kind of exciting. No, I think a lot of people haven't really considered a public sector job. And I mean, like, Lord knows, I think the public sector could always use great people. Like, the public is needy.
Absolutely. But I think there's a I just want to make this point, guys. I think there's a misconception of what a public servant is and what he or she is not. And I think we have to kind of put those perceptions and myths to rest, because I could tell you it's a very exciting place, very exciting place. It could be a place for great growth and great opportunity.
Awesome.
We literally had no idea.
Oh, I'm happy to enlighten you.
And you have. So, Eli, we want to thank you. We got a lot of takeaways from this. How can people get a hold of you if they want to connect with you?
The best, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way. My profile is public. I get a lot of connections through LinkedIn. So, Elias Raful, best way to reach me probably is on LinkedIn.
All right. Well, that brings this episode of Two Black Guys with Good Credit to a close. Happy holidays to everyone. We want to thank Eli for giving us all this public and private sector game. I'm one third of Two Black Guys with Good Credit, and I'm out. Karen?
And I am Karen Margolis, as you well know, one third of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. My credit steadily rising, and I'm a black guy just like you.
And I'm Sean, the better half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And as I say every show and every week, keep your money in your damn pocket. And I want to thank my homeboy, my Lebanese friend, Eli, for once again coming on the show and breaking it down for us and dropping bombs. And I'm out, guys.
Peace. That's not literal bombs. And I'm Lebanese Canadian, just for the
record. Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.